Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am Tony Serino alongside Christopher Carter, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, Chris and I are previewing Sunday's game between the Steelers and Chargers, Sunday Night Football, the first start for Devlin Hodges in all likelihood, and it comes on a West Coast trip to LA where the Steelers have had a lot of trouble winning in the past. Of course, you look back at that game against the 49ers, and it was a tough game, a game they should have won, but like all West Coast trips for the Steelers, it ends in defeat. Will the same happen this Sunday against the Chargers? We'll talk about that today on the show. Welcome to the show. You can find more of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the new Himalaya app. Wherever you find podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button. Make sure to get your daily dose. You can follow us on Twitter at LO Steelers. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. Hit like on the Facebook page. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. You can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. All right, Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's Friday, Tony. It's a happy day.
It is a happy day, and in just 48 hours, we get to watch my boy Duck. Hopefully. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, I think he's going to start this game. Mason Rudolph limited again in practice on Thursday. And so in order for him to get cleared, he has to do a full participation in practice and then get cleared by an independent neurologist. So we'll see if that happens. It still could happen on Friday, although I think a lot of people, you know, agree with what we were saying yesterday, Chris, which is that, you know, even if Mason is cleared by the doctors, boy, you'd have a hard time putting him out there as a starter. Maybe you'd leave him in as a backup, and it does mean that the Steelers don't have to do any roster maneuvering over the weekend to get Paxton Lynch on the roster, because they're not going to IR Mason Rudolph, so someone needs to get cut if that happens. All right, let's go through the whole injury report as we stand here on Thursday. Not a whole lot has changed from Wednesday. We do have a new addition to the report. I'll just go through it real quick. Roosevelt Nix not practicing with a knee injury. Now, Tomlin did say in his press conference that they were hopeful to get Nix back this week. Without Nix practicing on Wednesday or Thursday, I have a hard time seeing him playing. Mark Barron also sat out with a hamstring injury. So I think it's very unlikely he plays this week. Vance McDonald also sitting out with that shoulder, although, Chris, you and I talked about that yesterday. This seems to be precautionary at this point. Tomlin understanding that Vance has a history of injuries. Don't want him to go down with anything at practice, so keep him out, rest that shoulder, and get him ready for Sundays. Mason Rudolph limited, as I said. Steven Nelson still limited with that groin injury. Chris, the hope here has to be that Nelson can return to a full capacity on Friday, and that should mean he'll be good to go on Sunday.
No, yeah, I think Nelson. I suspected Nelson was going to be ready the whole week, anyways. Like we said all week, it's just precautionary. They're veterans, and especially when they're playing well, it's like, hey, Nelson's been doing a heck of a job. I don't think him missing a practice and being limited in another is a death knell to his momentum. So that's the case. McDonald just a precaution. I don't think Nix could be in a precaution. For the practices he's missed. You think he'd want to get back in it, but I mean, the fullback role is one, they won't be using him a ton, and the times that they will be using him, he'll be a battering ram, and he knows how to do. He's been on the team for several years now, so I think that he would be someone that they would feel comfortable being like, hey, Rosie, show up on Sunday, we got you.
The other big thing with having Nix back, if he could, or whenever he can return, if it's this week or if it's after the bye week, he's a big special teams guy on some of those coverage units.
True. And Dale Lally just wrote on our Friday Insider at DK Pittsburgh Sports that, talking to Danny Smith, part of the return problems has been blocking. And if you look back at some of the returns they've had where they've actually tried to return the ball, I mean, they've let players walk right through. There was a play over the Ravens where L.J. Fort, in his first week with the Ravens, ran right through the gap where Jalen Samuels evacuated, and they've had problems there. And I think having Roosevelt Nix back in the center of that, won't fix everything, but I think it will be a welcomed presence.
One disappointment on this injury list, I'm sure, to fans is going to be the fact that Anthony Ciccolo is back in a full capacity. Chris, fans are enamored with Ola. We have been throughout the training camp and preseason process. He hasn't really stood out, though, in any kind of big way. He hasn't got a bunch of reps. But what have you seen from Ola on tape in these last couple of weeks?
He's not giving up the edge on the run, which was my biggest concern for him as a player. There's been times where they pulled a guy and he's cut that guy out so that the person behind him can make the play. That's something that a lot of young edge rushers don't understand. When you see the offense have a tight end or a guard pulling to your side, you have to cut them off as early as you can, stop them from getting out to you where your edge is at, because then you can limit their effectiveness and you clear up the space for anyone behind you to come up and make a play. Ola's been doing the smart things there. That's one thing I was really worried about for him in the preseason. Then he missed the rest of the preseason. So, I mean, I think he's doing very well. You know, and the call he had against Lamar Jackson was suspect, but he was also putting pressure on Lamar Jackson with that play. I think he's doing just fine. And, you know, to be honest, you know, Chicolo deserves a chance to redeem himself from the Patriots game, because he did look, I think it was actually the Seahawks game, excuse me, where he looked pretty bad in both.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, this guy's younger. He costs a lot less money. I've said from the jump, I don't think Chicolo will be back next year. I think this was a friendly contract that they gave him to keep him around for now. And if he balled out and proved that he could be the starter at least next year, when Bud Dupree doesn't come back, then fine. They'll keep him at the price they have him, but they're not going to spend $4 to $6 million on him next year when you got Ola Adini. And honestly, Jayron Elliott, for the limited snaps he's been in, he's been fine. You know, he hasn't been spectacular or blown anyone away, but he's been solid, at least that his spot has not been taken advantage of by opposing offenses. So I think they'll put him back out there. I think the Steelers are also, this is just the class in the organization. They're not going to force you back out there if they feel like you shouldn't be out there. You know, and the same thing goes with Mason Rudolph. I don't know if you saw this, Tony, but during the week I saw a very interesting short little monologue from Ryan Clark, and he brought up how Mike Tomlin looks at his players, and he said he doesn't think there's any way Mason Rudolph will play, because he said when he had sickle cell and the Steelers were headed to the playoffs to play Tim Tebow and the Broncos, and that Mike Tomlin told him he wasn't going to play. And he was like, "Coach, I can do this. I'm willing to take this risk." And he said, Coach Tomlin looked him in the eye and said, "If you were my son, I wouldn't let you play. So therefore, I'm not going to let you play." And he said that always stuck with him, because he cared about him as a person more than winning a football game. And they ended up losing because Tyrone Carter was just abysmal in that game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wasn't worth the risk of, you know, Ryan Clark sickle cell trait being, you know, in a very dangerous situation in Mile High. I mean, he lost his appendix, I think, a few years before that because he was out there and they didn't know that was going to be that much of a problem. So yep. Mason Rudolph, why put him out there if he's under risk? Same thing, you know, if Nix isn't 100%, you know, this is a guy who he is a guy that bangs his body around. He is a guy that makes his money that way. You don't need him to go out there and take on an even more serious injury because you rushed him. So I think that's what they're doing, is just taking the precautions.
Yeah, and with Chicolo, this is another guy who's a core special teamer. And we talk about the problems the Steelers have had on special teams the last week, coverage was an issue at times, right? I mean, they had the Ravens had that long return. Chicolo can help there as well. So I think, you know, getting him back in that way is a good thing, even if it probably means less reps for a guy like Ola. All right, and then the big one here, Chris, Mike Hilton added to the injury report. He was limited in practice on Thursday. Usually this means that this injury happened at practice. It's a foot injury for Mike Hilton. Now, you and I had talked about Cam Sutton and potentially an increased role for him in this game if Steven Nelson couldn't go, because potentially you could play Sutton on the outside. Now, if Hilton can't go, right, if this injury persists, and let's say he misses practice today as we record this on Friday, that could mean that, you know, Cam Sutton is thrust into a starting slot corner role.
Yeah, I mean, Sutton's been good there. Now, it's been a limited fashion. He's mainly just played third downs, but he's been solid there, and I think the team would welcome it. Now, Sutton doesn't have the run-stopping presence and the blitzing presence that Mike Hilton does, and that's why he's so valuable to them on the early downs. But I think he'll be a solid fill-in. But you're right, that takes away a presence on the outside that they could use Sutton for and move him around at, which would force Artie Burns in there. And if Artie Burns were to go down, that would mean Justin Lane would have to probably play that position. So definitely something that they're concerned about. But I also think the Steelers, with the way that they've been using Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick, and now Cameron Kelly's getting snaps again, I think that they might be faster to throw those guys in the slot, either Edmonds or Minkah, to fill that role, than to just sort of force, you know, the start putting on more players that they're not comfortable with being in the starting roles.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to start previewing this game between the Chargers and Steelers right after this. All right, Chris, so let's go down the Chargers and their injury or participation practice, or their practice participation report on Thursday. Because they, you know, as we talked about with the Chargers guy on Wednesday, yeah, they've got a long list of injuries as well, and they've been certainly dealing with their own injury problems in L.A. The big one here is, of course, Melvin Ingram, who has not practiced all week with a hamstring injury. I think at this point, you'd have to say it's unlikely he goes. And that's a big loss for them, because when you got Joey Bosa coming on one side and Ingram on the other, this is one of the most formidable pass-rushing duos in the NFL. The Steelers have been a very good pass-blocking team, but of course, this might have been their toughest test of the year so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest challenge they had was when they faced the other Bosa brother in the 49ers front line, which has proven to be a very tough team. But yeah, it certainly is a blow to the Chargers. You know, Ingram traditionally has been great. This year, I think he only has one sack, so he's not been the best out. But that would force up Uchenna Nwosu, who our buddy from our Crossed On podcast episode was saying that he's really stepped up, and he certainly looks like he has. So they're definitely not going to be any. There's not definitely not going to be any lack of personnel for them that's going to give them a challenge. But certainly Ingram not being out there does give them an interesting different bit. But they've only allowed five sacks this season. That's second fewest in the league, only to the 49ers, who've played one less game than them. That's definitely a good sign, especially for Devlin Hodges coming into this game to know, hey, you know, he could probably trust his line a bit. And in that Ravens game, even when they were bringing, you know, full, you know, eight-man blitzes, he looked pretty comfortable standing in the pocket and dealing with the pressure.
Yeah, and part of it was, you know, you're right, him reading that and getting rid of the ball quickly, and part of that was just very good protection, him switching the protection at times. Remember, you know, the one time we saw Devlin struggle for the entire time was against the Panthers in that final preseason game. The offensive line was terrible. There was pressure on him the entire game. He just does not do well in those situations, or he didn't in that moment. Better against the Ravens, but if the O-line can't protect him in this game, I think that's a big problem for this team. The other guy we should talk about here on the Chargers injury list is not a big name on the Chargers, but it is, you know, he was a big name in this matchup a year ago, and that's running back Justin Jackson, who's got a calf injury. He hasn't practiced all week. He probably won't play. Now, I know the Chargers just got back Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon didn't play in this game a year ago. Chris, Justin Jackson, when he came in the second half, I thought he changed that game a year ago, really opened up the Chargers running game and led to that comeback that they had. It ultimately resulted in a Chargers win.
Yeah, it seemed like he did give them an extra burst. One thing that I think that, but I also think part of that was the Steelers were sort of, they hit the Steelers with a really good balance on offense, which prevented them from stuffing the run. I mean, remember, the Steelers were dominating that game going into the second half, and then it seemed like, okay, let's expect the pass, and then the Chargers ran the ball, and they said, okay, well, let's expect the run, and the Chargers pass the ball. That's what a balanced offense does to you. And, you know, they did get some help from a punt return that shouldn't have been allowed to score. Yep. And from Sean Davis completely destroying Joe Hayden on an interception that should have ended the game.
A false start that just, you know, they didn't go.
There was also another touchdown they got. But so like,
no
so
sour
like,
grapes yeah, here, but you know.
Yeah, there's several plays that really went against the Steelers that were just wow. But at the same time, Justin Jackson was part of that. I think the Steelers, this was a game that really stung them last year. I remember that locker room was really tough. I was on the final word after that. And oh man, it was just, there was a lot of people just being like this, that was unacceptable from them. And I mean, the way to lose at home in prime time, giving up a big lead. It was just, and that was one of the signs that like this may be a rough end of the season. And as it ended up being, but I think that because of that, this organization has keyed this game since before the season and said they need to perform this year. Keith Butler came out and said very publicly on Thursday, saying that, you know, the plan that they've got a plan on how to attack or how to defend the Chargers pass. Minkah Fitzpatrick said, we're not doing that whole linebacker thing this year. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that's because he's in town and they know they got safeties that can cover the slot. They've got slot cornerbacks that can cover the slot, and they're not falling, but they also have a much better coverage linebacker situation with Devin Bush, who on the year has actually done very well in coverage this year. And Bush, he's had about six different passes come his way where he was the closest defender against a receiver. Five of them have been completed, but those aren't the passes that have been hurting him. It's the tight end passes that have been hurting him. So I think the Steelers are going to be quite ready for Keenan Allen this time around. I do also think it's important to note, Tony, the best numbers at defending Keenan Allen last year came from LJ Fort, not Joe Hayden, not Mike Hilton, but a linebacker. So I think the Steelers are going to have some answers this time around.
They need to, because yeah, this came during that run like you talked about. It was a three game losing streak for the Steelers. It was all those West Coast teams that they were losing to, and it came at a time where it seemed like the number one option on all those teams with, you know, they were able, the opposing teams were able to hit and hit with regularity, right? The same thing would happen the next week against Jared Cook and the Raiders. So, yeah, I mean, I think the key for Keith Butler in this game has got to be to take away Keenan Allen in the passing game, and then, you know, see what the how the Chargers respond. Last week, the Broncos did a very good job of that, and it was Austin Eckler who caught, I think it was like, you know, over 10 passes in that game, well over 10 passes in that game. So, you know, covering him out of the backfield. The other guy to worry about here, Chris, you talked about it, right? The struggles with covering the tight end. Not so much an issue last week, as the Steelers did a good job of defending pretty much everything against the Ravens. But Hunter Henry has a knee injury. He's limited in practice. Looks like he is going to play. This is a guy who's dealt with injury problems throughout his entire career, but when he's healthy, he's been a very good and dangerous tight end. The Steelers, I think, you know, they also need to worry about Hunter Henry and making sure that they don't get exposed in that way.
No, I agree. The Steelers do need to, I mean, the athletic tight ends have been a problem for the Steelers for years. Not as big as people want to make it out to be. Like, you know, the Andrew Philip homies of the world think that the Steelers have never covered a tight end in a single day in their lives. That couldn't be farther from the truth. But I will say, I will say that the Steelers do need to be well aware of how they're going to use them, because he is a guy that can stretch the offense. And this is a team with several offensive weapons. You got Melvin Gordon come back. You got maybe Eckler. You got and on the outside, you got Keenan Allen in the slot and Mike Williams as a receiver who hasn't really stood out in this season, but he's still absolutely a person that if you leave him alone, he's going to hurt you, and you cannot afford to let that happen. And all that with Hunter Henry coming back, that could be a problem moving forward. But I also think the Steelers, they're going to have answers for that. Terrell Edmonds has been solid against tight ends this season. So has Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, he had the play against he was the one. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick was the one that was guarding Mark Andrews, who for a while was the best, fantasy production wise of tight ends. This year, just to sort of give people an idea, the Steelers are giving up, you know, they're like right in the middle of the league when it comes to defending tight ends. And so I really think that they are doing just fine. I think they're ranked 20. So that if they were, they're ranked 21st as far as the league, as far as guarding tight ends, which, you know, it's on a little bit on the lower half, but considering they've also played, you know, Russell Wilson and Will Disley, who have been very dynamic. They also played George Kittle, who they actually pretty much limited most of that game. They've played some of the top, and Mark Andrews. They've played, you know, three of the bigger name tight ends that have been producing numbers wise this season, and they're ranked 21st and not like dead last. I think that's a good sign for them moving forward. And that Hunter Henry, I think they should at least be up for the challenge.
Going back over to the Chargers on their defensive side, Casey Hayward has practiced in a full capacity now. He'll be back this week and available. And it does bring up, Chris, we talked on Wednesday about this, but you know, it does bring up kind of the matchups in this game when we talk about who's lining up against who, right? Because Juju, if you play him in the slot, he's likely going to get Desmond King. Desmond King has been a very good slot corner in the NFL. And then Casey Hayward, you know, I don't know if he's going to travel with Deontay Johnson. You know, no James Washington in this one is going to mean that either Moncrief or Holton is going to play more. And so you figure if they put Hayward on Johnson, and that can be, you know, a kind of a shutdown matchup there, King versus Juju, you have to give the edge to Juju, but it is going to be a tough matchup there. And it does mean that, you know, the Steelers are going to need another playmaker to step up and make some plays on offense.
Absolutely. There's going to be somebody needs to step up. This could be a big game for James Conner in the receiving game and in the ground game. Vance McDonald being healthy is a huge factor in that. I really think they have to go after the vacant spot of Derwin James not being there.
Yeah.
But also, if Desmond King is lined up with Juju Smith-Schuster, that is a matchup that I think could really work out for the team, because King is very quick, he's very fast, and he's very handsy. But he is not a big body. He's a guy that if you do some Devlin Hodges, he loves those jump balls to throw those up and give his receiver a one-on-one opportunity. If he sees that, throw that to Juju, because he can win those jump ball situations against Desmond King. And I'll say this, because Desmond King has tortured Pittsburgh in the past, and not Pittsburgh as in the Steelers, but the Pitt Panthers. There were back-to-back seasons where Iowa played Pitt, and he would make huge play after huge play. And I remember thinking, like, man, like, if the Steelers could get that guy, that could be a very interesting grab and a boost to their secondary. And of course, he went to the Chargers, and now he's one of the better young cornerbacks in the league. But Desmond King, can be susceptible to losing those jump ball situations. He'll still fight for it. He's definitely gritty. He'll go after it. But that's a matchup I think they could try to exploit. Hayward is as tough as they come in the NFL. He's going to be a challenge. But again, I think that they had a blueprint to moving the ball on the Chargers last year. And I think the biggest thing is this year with Hodges, just don't force him. Don't force him to chuck the ball a whole bunch. But give him some options. Give him some chances to sort of keep them off balance. Don't be as predictable on offense by, you brought up, they ran the ball 90% of the time on first down with Hodges in there. I don't think they want to do that against the Chargers because they will get aggressive and try to stop that. Counter that with some play action. Give Devlin Hodges a chance to sort of get those one-on-one throws that he likes to make and let him be aggressive there. And I think that'll be a huge key for punching some holes in the Chargers defense.
All right, we're going to go one more break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you, Chris, why I'm coming around on Keith Butler. I might be a fan of Keith Butler. I'll tell you why right after this. Hey, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you just keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast. It's easy. They pay when you win. Let's face it. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know that you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. Enter promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so Chris, I've made no secret on this podcast. Not a huge fan of Keith Butler, but certainly I'm coming around based on the defensive performance over the last couple weeks. They were dominant against the Bengals, but that was the Bengals and they have been pretty hapless on offense this year. Last week, though, against one of the better offenses in the league, at least statistically, the Ravens were one of the better offenses in the league, and they did a great job of shutting down the Ravens. Now, Keith Butler is trying to win over my heart, Chris, with this quote. He did his press conference on Thursday, and he talked about Devlin Hodges and that deep out he threw to Deontay Johnson, the one where it kind of hit him as he came out of his break. A great throw by Devlin. Keith Butler said, quote, "As soon as the receiver came out of his break, it hit him right in his chest. That's a big-time throw. You see people like Fouts making throws like that. You don't see young guys making that kind of throw." So, and I got to agree with him. It was a shocker to even me as I watched that play. But I did, the hater part of me came out after that play. And I said, was that Devlin throwing it at the perfect time coming out of his break? Or, you talked about it, right? It was a zero blitz. I mean, that blitz was coming. Did he maybe throw it a little early and it just happened to hit him right as he came out of his break? How did you read that play?
I mean, either way, Tony, if that's because he rushed it, he made it work. That to me is one of those, I don't care how he got it done. He got it done. And to me, I thought it was him keeping his timing because there were several passes that he threw right as the receiver was going into their break, right as they were breaking through a zone scheme, either the pass over the middle to Juju. His passes seemed well timed, like he understood the route, understood the concept that he was throwing into. And I didn't take that as he was rushed. They were bringing the heat, but if he was being impacted by the heat, he would have gotten happy feet. He would have thrown it a little bit sooner. He might have thrown it away. There would have been something else there. But I mean, if that's the reaction that he has to heat in his face is that he throws an on-time ball, I'll take it every time. I do think that, and again, small sample size might not happen that often, right? But in that moment it did, and he looked very good doing it. I think Keith Butler is just saying what everyone else is saying. The Samford coaches in an interview with Dale Lally said that they've always thought that Devlin Hodges was the greatest FCS quarterback of all time. And I was like,
wow,
whoa, yeah. So, okay. But you've got to say that about your guy when he's in the pros and he's about to start. Like anyone that's a Samford fan, it must be losing their minds as much as you're losing your mind right now.
Wait, wasn't Carson Wentz an FCS guy?
Yes, he was. And that's why that's so shocking is that, whoa. Okay, and then someone said that Devlin Hodges is a poor man's Baker Mayfield. And I'm like, Well, yeah, they do have the same height. But, you know, but I honestly think a Baker Mayfield is kind of someone's poor man's quarterback.
So. Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield, you know, what did he complete? 8 passes on Monday night? He ain't exactly lighting up the NFL like everybody thought he would.
Exactly. He's playing very poorly. He's not doing well. Honestly, what would be really crazy is if Devlin Hodges comes out and has a solid night and just kind of does what he has to do, and they win the game, then people are going to be saying, is he better than Baker Mayfield? And I'm going to be like, oh, God.
He is better than Baker. We know, Chris. We already know he's
better
than Baker.
But it's just the insanity that is this season as far as everyone going down and the way they're going down. I mean, Jalen Samuels, we had no idea that his knee had any issues. He looked fine in the game. Yeah. And after the game, when he talked, he was standing at his locker for like a good 20 minutes answering interview questions. It's just been bizarre. But, hey, that's the NFL. Sometimes you got to deal with all that weirdness. And I think that the Steelers in-house are handling it well. I know everyone was talking about the fights that they had this week. You know, in camp, they had like a day where
That was a weird one, right?
Yeah, that was interesting. I don't mind those. Some people are like, man, that's not good. That shows, you know, not team unity. I prefer it when the defense rouses up the offense. I think it kind of, as long as people don't get hurt, I think that it's that competition is all good for the team.
All right, tinfoil hat time again. I'm putting the tinfoil hat back on. Because I said this on, I was on the donut bag the other day with Joey, and I said this there. So I'll say it here. I think, okay, there's a part of me that looks at that the same way you do, which is good. They need this kind of competition, right? You know, this team needs to be fired up and on edge because they need to win football games. They've been in these games but haven't been able to get the W. But the other part of me goes back to why Joey Porter was let go. You remember when Joey Porter got let go, one of the things that was put out there was the idea that he was pitting the two sides against one another, meaning that, you know, the offense, the defense is saying, hey, offense, you are the reason why we aren't winning these games. Now you look at the way this season is playing out, where that has been true, right? You look at that game against the 49ers, 5 turnovers by the defense and the offense can't get it done. You look at that game, even in the Seahawks game, 2 big turnovers in that game, the offense can't get it done. And now this game against the Ravens, 3 interceptions, can't get the job done late. I don't know. I looked at that and I was like, is that what's happening here? Is the defense getting frustrated with the offense and that's boiling over in practice? And, you know, I don't want to use the word culture problems here, but it did cross my mind.
Oh, come on. Listen, I forget which loss. I think it was the Seahawks loss. And leaving the locker room, David DeCastro was leaving. And Cam Hayward was like, this loss is on us. And David's like, no, this is on us. And it's like, it was to the point where they're both acknowledging where they're coming up short. The Steelers don't do that. I think this was, and again, it wasn't like it was all the defense beating up all the offense. Cam Kelly hit someone hard, and I think it was Marcus Allen hit Juju a little hard. Marcus, you think Marcus Allen's really angry because his great defense? Yeah. He's on the practice squad.
He's on the practice squad. Cam Kelly, you know, the two guys who are making the biggest impact out there on the defense.
Right, right. And that's why. And Cam Kelly's another guy. Like, you know, he got an interception this last game, but he's not one of the ones. Like, if Minkah Fitzpatrick did it and stood over the offense and said, "Y'all punks need to start stepping up," that would be different. But that's not what's happening. I think one thing I've always seen, David DeCastro and the offense, especially the offensive line, they get a little razzled anytime their players take hit that they don't think they should be taking, and whether that's from their own team and from other teams. And DeCastro's been one of the first guys that have always stepped up and said, man, the defense needs to not do that. But personally, I'm like, man, forget that. They're here to make sure that you guys work. This is not college going up against your walk-on guys that are just there to get beat up every day. You guys are professionals. You need to prepare like professionals and take some of those hits. I think it's fine. As long as those hits aren't like, hey, I'm putting a helmet on this guy's knee. You know, if you're coming up and you're hitting me like right in the chest, I'm okay with that. Just don't do any of the dirty stuff that can get people hurt. And I think that it's fine. Of course, I wasn't there. I don't know what the hit exactly looked like and how that led off to a brouhaha. But it, you know, to me, I think the nature of being competitive in practice is perfectly fine. And who knows? Maybe it needs to help this offense to get them in gear.
All right, last thing here. We didn't do a score prediction or anything on Wednesday, so let's do it now. Well, how do you think this game against the Chargers plays out? Do the Steelers break their West Coast voodoo that's been happening to them? They cannot win on the West Coast. The last time they won on the West Coast was against the Chargers. It was in San Diego at the time, but do they break that streak on Sunday?
Well, it's also funny you say that because the quarterback of that game was Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm. He was like the fourth stringer that year.
He was the fourth stringer. And now you got the fourth stringer. And Rocky Blyer, great Steelers legend, compared this current Steelers team to the 1976 Steelers. They're 1-4. Ooh. They've got a undrafted rookie quarterback coming in to start. Is this the start of the rise of this, of a great Steelers defense and a quarterback that can go on off? I mean, going into Ben Roethlisberger's rookie season, Mike Krzyzewski had the longest winning streak to start of their career of any rookie quarterback in NFL history. I think he won 6 games in a row to start his career, mm-hmm. and before Terry Bradshaw came back in from injury. Devlin Hodges now gets a chance to plant his flag in that territory with the first game. I think the Steelers are going to pull off an upset. I think the Chargers, and not because they are going to play spectacular necessarily. I think the defense is going to play tough. I think Devlin's going to make a couple plays, and that's really all they'll need. I'm not so big on the Chargers right now. They've been struggling. Phillip Rivers has looked very inconsistent. They just got waxed at home by the Broncos. Their defense hasn't been all there, and they're still missing Derwin James. I think this is, and to the Steelers, I think this is also a revenge game for them. There's a lot of motivation going into this game, and intangible wise, that sort of, I think, will feed into the attitude that they take. But I also think this is going to be a game where I think they get some matchups that favor their way, and maybe some things break their way. And going into the bye week, they can go in 2-4.
I agree with you. It's weird because, you know, this is a West Coast game, and it's tough to imagine this team winning on the West Coast given what we've seen recently. And I mean by that, I mean what we saw 3 weeks ago against the 49ers. 5 turnovers, and they still couldn't get it done. I am excited to watch Duck in this game. I do think the offense is going to move the ball more consistently in this game than they have pretty much the entire year, with Duck at the helm. The worry I have with Duck is the worry everyone should have, which is the turnovers. Is he going to be a big interception guy because of that confidence we talk about? It turns into irrational confidence at some point, and that manifests itself in turnovers. This offense has already struggled with some turnovers in big moments. Of course, against the 49ers, against the Ravens, 2 big turnovers in those games that changed the outcome of those games. So that's my worry offensively. But I do think this offense is going to get some things going and have the ability to put up some points where they haven't in the past. And then defensively, you have to love where they are right now. Now, the matchup is going to be different because, you know, you have a Chargers team led by a Hall of Fame quarterback who had some success against this defense a year ago. And how much of that is going to continue in 2019, like you talked about, Chris, I think Keith Butler has to come in with a better plan to shut down their best options and make them earn it down the field. I'm looking for the same thing that this Steelers team has been very good at this year, which is yards, not points, right? Even if this Chargers team does get some yards on this team, shut it down in the red zone and continue to get turnovers and get pressure on Rivers, and that will manifest itself in some big turnovers. If they don't lose the turnover battle in this game, they're going to give themselves a chance to win. And I think this is going to come down to the end again, just like every Steeler game has this year other than the Patriots. Can this team pull it off in the fourth quarter is going to be the question. I'm going to say yes. Am I supremely confident in that? No, because it's on the West Coast. If this were a home game, I think I'd be much more confident. But on the West Coast, anything can happen out there, Chris. Anything can happen.
So I think there's a serious West Coast voodoo that's been on the Steelers. Yes. And, I mean, it's not necessarily voodoo. I mean, that kind of travel does impact the team because West Coast teams coming to the East Coast often struggle. You know, it's yes. not just a Steelers problem, but I do think it's a lot to ask a team that normally struggles on the West Coast to win with their undrafted rookie quarterback that was fourth string coming into camp and cut from your team before the season started.
All right, so we are going to be back on Monday to do our rapid reaction to that game. We'll also, you're going to get a double dose of Locked On Steelers on Monday because Chris and I will also be on Locked On NFL that day. So we're going to do a recap of the game on Locked On NFL as well. So check out that. But before then, Chris, let people know where they can find your work.
As always, find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques, where I'm breaking down the X's and O's. I break down the X's and O's everywhere. But if you follow me, I will follow you back on Twitter. Hit me with DMs. Hit me with an at. If I don't respond right away, just hit me up again. Sorry, sometimes I do get lost in the sauce as far as all the different roles I got to take on. But happy to do that with you guys. You guys help make a great show, and all the interactions, it really helps the community that we sort of build. Join the Facebook group as well, Locked On Steelers on Facebook. You can join us and talk with all the other listeners, and including us. We often like to joke around there. And thank you for being along with us for this ride and this podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast on whatever service that you get your podcasts from. Also, please go on Apple, iTunes, and podcast and rate it. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a positive comment. Those type of things really help the show and help us moving forward and make a better show for you guys. You can also find my work at dkpittsburghsports.com, where I'm always breaking down the X's and O's there, and my Carter's Classroom column. Got a lot of things to get you ready for this week to show what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. Check us out there. 99¢ just to subscribe for a trial month. If you like us, stick with us. If not, we thank you for checking us out. But I know you'll love what we got to bring at DK Pittsburgh Sports.
You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country, and shout out to Matt, who left us a 5-star review on iTunes, said we are a must listen for thank all Steeler fans. So yes, thank you, Matt. And Chris and I will be back on Monday for more Locked On Steelers.